Let me go on into the presentation tonight, because we have added a scope of work, or expanded to some degree, or re-identified what we want to do. We worked in China for 18 years, back and forth between the United States, because we were only permitted to stay in China for a certain period of time. But we're expanding into all of Asia, and we're doing this under the Red Boiling Springs Church of Christ in Red Boiling Springs, Tennessee, is the eldership that's overseeing the work. And we call it Save Asian Souls. Human trafficking is just a horrible, horrible thing. I came in contact with it in China, and it bothered me, like many other things in China have bothered me in the 18 years as I've learned more about the Chinese, about the country, about the things that are occurring. And the government, when we were down in Yunnan province, told me, said, you know, there are fathers of young girls between the age of 12 and 20 that sell their daughters for $10,000 each to the Russian mafia. And the father will never see that girl again the rest of her life. That was always disturbing to me. And then the more I investigated, the more I checked on it, I found that human trafficking is the fastest growing criminal industry in the world, next to drug trafficking. Now, there was one period of time some years ago that arms trafficking moved to second place. When the beginning of ISIS and the Middle East, a lot of arms trafficking, and it still occurs, but it's not as large as human trafficking is today. Hundreds and thousands of young girls are enslaved by the new crime of the century called human trafficking. Every 30 seconds, he mentioned every 30 seconds that a baby was born in China, every 30 seconds, another victim of human trafficking occurs somewhere in the world. And it's just horrible. And I can't even tell you everything that I know about it, because it would not be appropriate to even tell it at this group. Now, why do we pick Asia? Well, you just look at the number of people that are trafficked around the world and the nations which they come from, and Asia is 11,700,000. Now, there's just one problem, that all of these figures are estimates by the United Nations or by the United States Immigration and Health and Welfare Services or Drug Enforcement. They estimate. Criminals don't report their activities. So these are estimates. They're the best estimates that are available, though. Well, you look at, say, the United States, Canada, Iceland, Australia, Europe. Well, that's only 1.5 million that are trafficked from those nations. That's small compared to Asia and 11,700,000. A few months ago, we're down in the Rio Grande Valley on the Mexican border. And the immigration officials announced that from October 2015 to February, when we were there in Harlingen, Texas, 44,000 people had walked across the border from Mexico. And I found out, what do the traffickers do with the girls from Asia? They fly them to Mexico and they walk across the border. I filled in for the minister at Port Lavaca, Texas, back in December, I believe it was. And while we were in Port Lavaca, it's just a little quiet seaport city on the coast of Texas. I never would have expected. They said, you know, Port Lavaca is the center for human trafficking from South America and Central America. They come through that little small town in Texas. So Texas is a major problem for human trafficking, because most of them will end up coming through Texas or through El Paso in California. Where are they coming? They're coming to the United States. 300,000 per year come into the United States from Asia. And they're sold, of course, in the United States for $10,000 each. And a recruiter makes $250,000 a year, and if he does a recruiting job, and he sells these girls to the crime and to the pimps in the United States for $10,000 each, he will tell them, you will make the money back in the first 2 months. And they do. And that's horrible. It's just unbelievable. But that's the reason the United States has such horrible trafficking, and the reason so many come in here is because we have the money, and that makes a difference. Here's are the risk factors for commercial sexual exploitation of minors. If they come from a dysfunctional home, if they've been sexually abused, and all the different things that you see in that first dark blue circle, those are the girls that are most vulnerable to the situation. And then you go into the next one is relationship, then community, then the social issues that involved. And we find all of this occurring in Asia. In every country that we're talking about in Asia, there are severe problems. Recently, I learned that in Bangkok, Thailand, 60% of all the male tourists that go to Bangkok, Thailand, go there for sex. 60%. That's unbelievable. It is a center for sexual exploitation of women. The average age of trafficked victims is 14 years old. 27 million at the time that this chart was made by the United Nations. It is now up to 35 million around the world. That's disturbing. Very disturbing. Now, we cannot stop human trafficking, but we can save some girls from being involved in human trafficking. And I'll tell you how we plan to do that in a few minutes. Here is the trafficking situation of what happens. There's the transfer, the recruitment, the receipt, the transportation, and the housing, harboring. And then you go into the abduction by force. Then there are other means of coercion that they use. Recently in Nepal, they drugged a young girl, and they put on the dress of a Muslim woman where there's nothing but her eyes showing. And they were able to get her outside of the country before they ever got caught. I mean, she was on an airline, probably on the way to Dubai. Because recently, 17 girls were caught in the New Delhi airport. They had gone from Kathmandu to New Delhi, and they were on their way to Dubai to become prostitutes. And that's the reason, I think approximately, I'll get to the number, I think it's 20,000 or 200,000, I can't remember. But to the United States, it's 300,000 per year. Well, you'd say, how can they keep bringing that many in? Why do they need to keep bringing more? Because they want the girls between 12 and 20. After they're in their 20s, they don't want them anymore. They're discarded, and many times they're sold for their organs on the black market. And a kidney will bring $70,000 on the black market. They have no identification. They have no passport. They're in the country illegal. What can they do? They cannot do anything. They're victims of a horrible, horrible atrocity. 12 to 14 years of age, typical age of trafficking, occurs 15 times per day in the United States. One out of every 236 people is a victim of human trafficking. That just seems alarming to me. Why are they trafficking? Organized crime. Take, for example, the brothels of Japan. Between 125,000 and 150,000 girls work in the brothels of Japan. Well, I talked to a Japanese lady and her husband about working for me in Japan. It was in the early stages. I did not really know the danger that would be involved. They said, no way. We could not possibly go in and try to get the girls out of the brothels. We would be killed. And that's right. Why would organized crime care if they kill someone? They don't care for life. They have no use for life. So organized crime is a very major factor. Second, false job advertisements. We had a sponsor of a child in China, lived in Ackworth, Georgia, and her daughter was sitting in a Starbucks outside in the area, and a recruiter comes by and says, let me tell you about a job opportunity, or some opportunity, I'm not sure exactly what he said. She said, no, I'm married, I'm not interested in it. She had to finally go to the manager because he kept pressuring her, because he could sell her for about $10,000, but she's a Christian. There's no chance of him ever getting her, but he was trying. We were in the Harlingen Shopping Mall down in Harlingen, Texas, several months ago, about in February. And we noticed a young man standing outside a jewelry store, well-dressed, neat, but he stopped every young girl that was coming by. And the more scantily dressed, the more time he spent with them, I think, just noticing. We were walking inside the mall, and we'd go around a circle, he would still be there. He was a trafficker by all standards, trying to traffic young girls into prostitution. Misleading friendships. You take these young girls that are young, and they have an average of fifth grade education. They have no job. They have no health care. They are poor. And a man comes in and says, I'll buy you some new shoes. I'll buy you new clothing. I'll take you out to eat. He establishes a friendship. They're very vulnerable. And they fall into the trap. And then when he gets them back to Japan or whichever country they're going to, most of those in Japan come from the Philippines, sold for as low as $25. It's unbelievable. Families, that's when I first came in contact with it in China, that a father would sell his daughter for $10,000 to the Russian mafia. That sets him up for the rest of his life. But how could you sell your daughter? That's unbelievable to me. Kidnapped and later sold into slavery. That's right, by drugs. They drug them. They get them on a plane. They get them to the destination, and then they sell them. Some women unknowingly marry the recruiter. They're innocent. They don't know what's going to happen. And that's one of the things that we have to do with the young girls that we're coming in contact with. We have to tell them the danger so they don't fall into the trap. Poverty and gender discrimination. Poverty is a major factor in all third world countries, like living on $1 per day. In Nepal, they live on $1.25 per day. In the Philippines, they live on about the same amount of money. Poverty is a major factor. They have no jobs. They have no careers. They have no education. They have no opportunity for life. And then gender discrimination. A female is not worth a lot in Asia. And we know for years that a midwife, in delivering a baby, would keep a bucket of water beside her, and if it's a girl, the head of the little girl goes into the bucket of water. Now, the Chinese government is trying to restrict the abortions, more so than the United States. Also, the Chinese government does not permit any TV program or movie to have indications of homosexuality. It's against the law. But not in the United States. Strange that a nation that doesn't believe in God would have laws that would follow God's teaching. And a nation like ours, who supposedly is a Christian nation, would not even follow God's law. I don't understand. Gender discrimination is a major problem in all Asian countries. 20 million. Now, a lot of those in India are slave labor. I'll show you a few pictures of that. Nepal, 20,000. I was trying to remember the number. I knew it was started with a 2. 20,000 a year from Nepal. Because there are no jobs in Nepal. The young people, our missionary just recently went back to Nepal. He goes into, he flies from Atlanta to Dubai, from Dubai to Kathmandu. He was telling me, he said the flight back and forth from Dubai to Kathmandu is always full of young Nepalese children going back and forth between the country. The Philippines, 5 million per year. Majority of those will go to Arab countries or to Japan. Cambodia, 3 million per year. China, 300,000 per year. Now that sounds a little strange. Considering the population, over a billion people, and only 300,000, that's because most of the recruiting is inside China. Probably more prostitutes in China than the rest of all of Asia, because of the ratio of men to women. 8 to 10 is the ratio because of killing the girls. So there are a shortage of men. of girls. So that means 50 million men in China will never have wives. Think about the problem that it creates. Now, there is some trafficking to the United States to Chinese restaurants. We were in Portland, Texas. We went to a Chinese buffet. Then the next day, I was speaking to a Republican ladies group in Portland, Texas, and a man involved in crime, I don't know exactly what his position was, he said, "Did you realize that this restaurant right up here has slave labor from China?" He says, "Every day they bring a van, they let the workers out at the restaurant. Every day they come back and pick them up and take them back to the compound." And that kind of bothers me. And then I found out that in Dallas and Houston, Texas, that the nail parlors, the manicurists, are from Vietnam. Have you noticed that? That they're all from Vietnam? Now, you can't tell which ones are slaves and which ones are not. Some of them are slaves. And the van comes and lets them out in the morning, comes back and picks them up at night and takes them back to the compound. So you never know when you're dealing with someone that is a slave. There is more slavery in the world today than has ever existed in mankind's history. More slaves today. Thailand, 4 million per year, and I think that figure is low. Because Thailand is a country that does not even try to comply with the United Nations. Like Somalia and Haiti, neither one of them try to even comply to the standards of the United Nations in trafficking. Annual profits per victim per sector of exploitation. Do you see why prostitution rates so high? That's the high income. So that's the reason it's rated so high. Look at the other thing. Not a lot of money in those. At this time, this is put out by the United Nations. This is when arms trafficking was in number two. The human trafficking now is at $35 billion per year, and it is in second place. You see those little children? Every time I look at that, I think about the children of Israel down in Egypt, working in the brickyards. These little children are working in the brickyards every day. They're slaves. They don't try to escape and get out. Now, India has passed a law that prohibits slave labor in India. But do you think it's going to be enforced? Not even a possibility of it. When I see that little boy, I wonder, is he 7, 8 years old? And he works with a wheelbarrow, and he carries that mud to put in the brick forms to make bricks. They don't have a life. They hardly have an existence. This is a raid that was made down in a rubber plantation in Thailand. And many times, the rubber plantations use slave labor. Recently, they have very large rainfall. And right outside of a rubber plantation, they found 19 shallow graves. And you know what had happened. They had tried to escape, and they kill them if they try to escape, to strike fear into those that are remaining so that they don't try to escape and get out. This is a group that were recovered, and they did get their freedom. We expect to have help from all the churches because we want to teach them the gospel. We want to convert them to Christianity. We want to get them in a safe relationship. And we have churches, many churches in all of these countries that will work with us. China will be probably one of the more difficult of all the countries because all of our congregations except the Beijing Church of Christ is underground. It is the only legal Church of Christ that exists in China. It has existed approximately 9 years. Our goal then is to rescue the teens, approximate age between 12 and 20 in Asia, who would possibly become targets for human trafficking to other countries. We will provide them a safe place. We want to, in most cases if possible, if we have congregations, and we do have congregations in most areas. The church is growing in Asia. The church is growing in Thailand, in Cambodia. Now, in the survey, from Saigon north up to Hanoi, we don't think we can probably work in that area. But from, it's not Saigon now, it's called Ho Chi Minh City. From there south, we can work in Vietnam, and we have congregations. We hope to put the girls in a foster home because we want the Christians to teach them the gospel and to get them involved in a local congregation. Until we get them involved and sound and firm in Christianity, they're not immune to being trafficked. But once they become Christians and once they're part of a family, the traffickers can forget about them. It will probably take some of them a year, some 2 years, and some we know we cannot be successful with. I have two right now that I don't think there's possibility that we can save them. But we'll try. We'll do what we can. We want to teach them the Bible, and I say general education, and that really means vocational education. Right now we have several that have been in our orphanages. They failed in school. They have to leave the orphanage when they fail, because all the kids would quit just to stay at the orphanage and not go to school. That's the way it is. And they have to leave the orphanage. So we have found them, made contact with them, and if they're not in vocational school, we'll get them in vocational education so that they have a job and have income. We'll follow up with the girls to make sure they are faithful to God and in a congregation serving Him. Here are some of the girls that we have in the program now that we're working with. And all of these, I think, will be successful with these. I didn't show the pictures of those that I don't expect to be successful with. The cost will be $30 per child per month to cover the cost of care for them. That'll furnish their food, their clothing, medical care, and vocational education. The vocational education in Asia is very, very inexpensive. So we hope to save 200 victims from sex slavery during the year. We hope to increase that number every year, maybe 300 next year. I hope 400 next year. The Lord, after that, the Lord willing. That's the presentation on my program for today. I don't see a clock. I wanted to see how much time I had left. So how much time do I have? It's 6:45? 6:05. I don't have much then, do I? Okay. You know that there is a tremendous decline in religion in the United States. When we got the legislative, the executive, and the judicial branches of government fighting against Christianity, it's a hard road. The Churches of Christ, since 2006, has lost almost 80,000 adherents. 80,000. That means that 540 congregations have closed their doors, and they will never open again. And that's sad. That's disturbing. Recently, a church in Abilene, Texas, sent us a check, said, this is the balance of our checking account. We're closing, and we're going to sell the building. And we run into many others, and we run into many other congregations. Because, you see, our congregations are what you call graying. Yes, I know about that. Our congregations are getting older. And we are losing 81% of our own children that are converted to Christ. 81% will fall away by the time they get to university. Well, what's causing this tremendous problem? And by the way, our problem is not as serious as the denominations. They're losing more members than we are. But I'm not happy that we're losing members. I do realize that the future major growth of the Lord's church will be outside the United States. In fact, the Center of Christianity by the year 2025 will probably move, it is in Africa now, it will move to Asia. Right now, there are more believers in Jesus Christ in China than there are members of the Communist Party. Over 100 million people believe in Jesus Christ. The Communist Party only has 87 million members of the Communist Party. So this past year, persecution, oh, we have never seen anything like it in 18 years. Almost 500 church buildings have either had the cross that's on top of them removed or they've been leveled to the ground. And just the other day, they were doing something at one church and a bulldozer buried the wife of the minister of the congregation, not a minister of the Church of Christ, this denomination, buried her alive. Unbelievable. And he hardly escaped. So what is causing this problem? There are a lot of different things that are causing. One is the graying of our congregations. And we're losing our young people. That's a major factor. And we have to do something to correct it. Another problem, according to USA for Today, is the increase in the number of mosques that are being built in the United States. It has increased over 200% in the past 10 years. There is a mosque in every major city of the United States today. The increase of the Muslim religion is a threat to Christianity. They hate Christians. And yet we have a sponsor that sponsors a child for Bahrain. And I don't understand. He wanted a girl. And he wanted a girl that he could take from kindergarten all the way through university. And so he writes and says, I'm a moderate Muslim. I don't know what that means. And maybe I don't want to know. But anyway, the Muslim influence is having an effect upon Christianity. And when I say Christianity, I'm talking about all denominations and all religious faiths. The next thing that is causing the problem in the Lord's church is the dysfunctional home. Our Christian homes are falling apart. And if the home decays, if the home falls apart, then the church will reap very bad repercussions. We go by a ballpark when we're parked in Louisville, Texas, on our way to church. On Sunday morning, every field will be full. All the parking spots will be taken. And then we learn at one church where we visited that the minister's wife could not come on Wednesday night because she had to go with the children to the sports practice. You know, that is disturbing. We're not putting the Lord's church first again. Matthew chapter 6, 33. We are to put the Lord's church first in our lives. And when we as a nation and as the Lord's church are not putting the church first and letting sports and many other things take the place of it, we can see why there would be a decline in the numbers that are attending. There are several other problems that contribute to the decline in the Lord's church. These are the major ones that I think I'll write off. So what do we do? Well, first, we need to work on our homes. We need to make the home strong. We need to make it strong enough that we don't lose the 81% of our young people who have been baptized into Christ. We need them. They are the future of the church. And without them, the church does not have a future. Now, the Lord's church will always exist. But another factor that I didn't include is materialism. Materialism is invading the church at a tremendous rate. And it's not good. And you talk about materialism in China? Yes, it is severe. But we can still convert many people in China that we can't convert in the United States. But we have to get the home in better order. And based upon God, and so that our children come to worship like we did when we were children. And that's not the case today. Another thing that we need to do in order to curb the decline from people leaving the Lord's church is that we need to, and I don't know how to say it. Well, there's several different kinds of sermons. There's a feel-good sermon, and there's a sermon that doesn't feel good so much. And many elderships today only want their preachers to give feel-good sermons. That will not get it. On the way down here from Valdosta, we listened to the Bible. And we were at Matthew chapter 18 when we decided, well, the traffic's getting a little too rough. I need to pay attention to the traffic. And it is important for us to get back into a study of God's Word and to understand and to know God's Word. But we, as the Lord's church, do not know God's Word in the way that previous generations knew God's Word. And when I was a boy in our community, when someone had a Bible question, do you know what they would say? Go to a member of the Church of Christ and they will find it in the Scriptures because they know the Scriptures. And I'm not sure that's true today. So we need to get back into God's Word, and getting back into the Word will make the home stronger. And that is very important. It'll make the church stronger. And it'll make us all better Christians. I remember what Robert E. Lee said. He said, if you're in a court of law, and you don't have a Bible to swear in the witness, he said, if Alexander Campbell is there, just place your hand on his head, and that will suffice. What a tremendous compliment that is to a man that knew God's Word. I just want to call this to your attention in the few minutes that I had, because we love the Lord's church. It is the greatest institution that has ever existed on the face of this earth. And every time we go to a different congregation, which is two or three every week, we're at home. We're with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're all a part of God's family. And that is wonderful. If you're subject to the gospel invitation tonight, would you come while together we stand and sing?